Welcome to Diary 101 Podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelo Kandepwe, also known as Aka. The coolest thing I'll ever do on this podcast. So today I have somebody special and one of my favorite human beings. I hope this will never be used against me, but you're going to be hearing me say my favorite human being this. Me and my favorite human beings, because they're a lot. But this is somebody that is inspirational to me. Like, I'm always looking at him and I'm like, damn, when did you come up with that? You look so good. And he inspires how I dress. He's like, he's such a calm human being. But when you look at his social media, you go like, damn, this guy is so bold. So, before I ruin it for everybody else, I'd like to introduce today's guest, Brian Manda. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Aka. Hey, Thank you for having me on your podcast, by the way. And congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for showing up. Again, we're friends. So it's like my friends are really forced into this. It's so hard to say though. I'm so sorry you guys are friends with me. It's like I've been forcing everybody to be here for a minute. And one of the reasons why one of the first guests is I'm so comfortable talking to you. So it's like the first 10 guests would be the people I'm really comfortable talking to. And they won't make it so hard for me. Yeah. It's like, but again, not just because I'm comfortable, but because you really do amazing, amazing stuff. I have known you for a couple of years now. And yeah, we're officially friends now. So it's cool. It's like, it's so cool. But how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm great all the time. Yeah. I know we had this conversation before and that wasn't my response, but yeah, I'm good. I feel so good about this conversation. How's the work-life balance? Like, is it really possible to have work-life balance? Because I know we are both working today. So how's your work-life balance?
I think the word, like the perfect way to describe my work-life balance is I'm showing up. So I wouldn't call it like it's perfect or like, but it's moving because I'm showing up. Yeah, because I don't know how, I guess work-life balance looks different for everybody. And mine really looks, the way it looks like is me showing up for things that I have to show up for. So there's nothing like 50-50 for this. So sometimes it may look like that. Sometimes it's 80-60. Right now it looks like 70-30. So it's like that. So I'm showing up. That's how I describe that. Yeah.
I feel you. And showing up is good enough. I always say that I'm barely surviving, but I'll still work half of the time, right? So when you have commitments, and I think that's part of adulthood, I guess. Like when you have commitments, I had a conversation with one of my friends today. I was just like, I genuinely don't want to do this. It's in an hour. And I don't think when people see people on social media, they probably think we're the most disciplined, committed people. But
I think they also think there's this perception like you have everything figured out, but like while living life for the first time, what do you even mean?
This is why I don't need a life coach, because I thought we're all doing this for the first time. So your social media kind of shows somebody that is living their best life, has the coolest friend, and does random stuff. Before we became friends, I didn't understand that. I was like, oh, you're doing this? Yeah, this side? Bruh, when do you rest? Like, tell me a little bit more about what goes on behind the scene, because I know now that it's just isn't as good as it looks sometimes, and sometimes you're just barely surviving.
Okay. I think I like to do a lot of things, but on the top of it, obviously I'm a fashion and lifestyle creative, something that started a long time ago. And career-wise, I'm a digital marketing analyst, so that's what I do for a career. And mostly you find me in like spaces that are either creative or allow me to thrive and grow. So that's mostly what I do at the helm of who I am. Yeah, so just to get into it maybe further is, yes, the Instagram may show this and that, fun here and there, but I guess that's just how everybody is. I mean, nobody is one thing. We are many things. Today, Aka is a podcaster. Tomorrow, she may be something else. So it's the same thing that also just, I feel, applies to me. Those who have followed my journey will know to say, oh, there was a point when you were really like a book nerd. You are really writing, reading, sharing, which I still do. It's just that sometimes you evolve and you incorporate other things. So right now I feel like I'm in my career era where I want people to now see, okay, so Brian is now in his marketing strategist era, and obviously blending that with so many other things that I do and seeing how that journey goes. So if you see me sharing this, me sharing that, just know to say, okay, this is maybe where he's at the moment. So yeah, that's pretty much who I am, what I do, and the vibes.
I like the vibes. I haven't known you from your book era. Sucks. Like, why? When
I knew you? That was my favorite era. I think that era was so popular on Facebook. I had such a huge following on Facebook.
Because of that era, I should really go to Facebook because I'm always going to be in my book era.
You're right. No, really, like, that era is like, it just never goes. Once you're a book nerd forever, you know.
Thanks for the tip. I am taking my books to Facebook. I never know how to post on Facebook. It's like, it's another life. I just don't want to
explain.
Facebook is another.
Yeah. I don't know about now. I mean, back then, it was really doing great.
Trust. The most I spend on Facebook is like 30 minutes or 50. I'm just posting. And I use Meta. Sweet? Exactly. Yeah, it's Meta Sweet, right? And I'm just like, oh, then I'll go and check, is this post okay? Am I resharing to my... Then I just dip. It's like, should I share from my Facebook, from my Instagram too? It's like, then you're not getting a comment from me anywhere on Facebook. Well, it sucks that I haven't done the book era with you, but I'm going to call you back on the book era. My favorite era was your fashion era. I don't think you're ever going to outgrow that era. Yeah, I met you at an event with my friend Gosa, and she was just like, do you know who he is? I'm like, no, I never know who anybody is. I think that's the worst thing about me, is I never know who anybody is. So I'm just like, oh, who's that? So cool. So she's like, oh, we met a global platform, and she's like, oh, do you know this guy? He's doing this and that and that. You were selling denims by then. Like,
yes, I remember. I think so, was it like a thrift event?
Yeah, it was something a thrift like event. So yeah, I was so excited.
I think I had a stand. Yeah.
Then I started to follow you, and I'm like, oh, this guy is so cool, but it's Ngosa's friend kind of thing, right? By the way, I have you on my vision board. A picture of you on a magazine. Yeah.
That is so cool.
I know. I know this guy. I always have my fan moments, but my other relatives said that was my boyfriend. It gets funny in this household sometimes, honestly, even with the friends. So I have you, and looking at your journey and what you've been doing, fashion-wise, I got bored. Like, you might not know this about me, is like, I also like expressing myself with my fashion, my hair. So every time you go, like, how are you blending all these colors, like color blocking? How are you doing this? I get it from you because you've inspired me to be more bolder in what I wear. Yeah. And you're such a calm spirit, by the way. But what you wear doesn't show that. It's like, if someone doesn't know you, you're like, damn, that guy should be loud. But she's like... When you like, you bring this calmness, and like, so tell me what inspires you when it comes to what you wear and the color of your hair, or just what does it go in place when it just comes to your dress code, your outfits? Like, what's the thought behind that?
I think my I think my inspo, the thing behind my outfit really is just, it's really a simple notion. I just wear what I feel like wearing. But really and truly, that is something that a lot of people don't get to actually do. It sounds very simple, but it's in actuality, very few people get to wear what they really want to wear the hair that they really want to wear, or whatever that they really want to wear. So for me, that is like really the thing behind my outfits. And also obviously being influenced by some people that I do follow, blogs that I read, Instagram people and all that stuff. So that is why I think there was a point when I really experimented a lot with color. So I was really like in the yellow, pink, blues and all that. So it's really just been about wearing what I feel like I want to wear, and then sharing that obviously on my Instagram to my followers. Yeah, so wear what you want to wear.
That's so true. I get to do what I want to do anyway. And sometimes it's not the fact that they don't want to, but it's what are people going to say kind of thing. It's yeah. I'm not allowed to do this at home kind of thing. So with me, I feel like my family really doesn't care about a lot of stuff, to be honest. It's like I've been living at that, and I can get away with a lot of stuff. So it's like a privilege we both have to be able to express ourselves in a certain way. And the creative era is also one of my favorites, because I don't know, you inspire me a lot. So I know you did not study creative in university, but you transitioned into the creative era when. Like, no, it's a thing now, right? The creative space. But when the organization you work for, Yellow Ray, and when you were joining the creative space, it wasn't that famous, right? Like, you're one of the first, the first something, I've forgotten. But you're one of the first people in Zambia to actually explore that era, because it's an era anywhere else. But in Zambia, it's taken a while for us to just accept that, oh, you can actually be in the creative era and make money. How did you dive into the creative era? And yeah, what's the background behind that? And quick one, what did you study in university? I'm so curious.
Okay. In university, actually, I studied public administration with development study. And I thought, okay, I would finish, get a job in human resource or administration or management, and rise up in a company and obviously occupy top managerial positions. That's how I saw it. No, but really for me, I started exploring the creative space while I was in uni, even before I was in uni, while I was a pupil or a student in high school. So it started really, really way back. And I had a job. I think my first job was when I was in grade 12, and I was writing for a Nigerian blog, but it was anonymous, so no one really knew who was behind that blog. And it was very popular in Nigeria, by the way. I left that blog, and it paid well for someone who was just like in high school. Then I went to uni. Also in uni, I got a job. So I worked with Pizza Hut in uni, and I was among their brand ambassadorship program. And I worked heavily in marketing. So having graduated, it's like I had really good experience in marketing and the creative space. So for me, it just made sense to explore how that would look like. Obviously, I didn't really know. I knew the other part of it. I didn't know like the technical part of it, like you can actually get a job and this is a serious thing. So obviously back then, very few people in Zambia were even like embracing creatives, which is like a separate aspect. So there's the creative aspect of it, and then there's the corporate aspect of it and all that stuff. Obviously, I really came on the scene when there were very few people doing all this fashion and lifestyle, we had really, really few creatives, and it felt like a very small industry. But also I miss now, obviously, there are so many people who are exploring, which is really, really great. But I miss the times back then, because it also felt like people were creating from a point of originality. Now it feels a little bit saturated, which is not bad, but then now you're able to see the real creatives and those that are just doing it, because now everybody can create and can share, which is totally fine. So back then to now, it's been a great journey. It hasn't been easy. Obviously, it's been ups and downs. Sometimes it's been like, okay, maybe I'm doing too much investing in this, but it all paid off. And I think that's what I love about having had taken this route. Obviously, yes, after university, I've had jobs in administration. I've even worked as an HR assistant before, but that didn't really spark what I wanted my career to go. Then I joined Yellow Ray Digital, obviously, and I got exposed to so many of the stuff that the agency does. Things like social media management, event planning, also just so many of the other services that the agency does, especially the digital trainings, and at the helm of it, just revolutionizing how digital marketing is being done. Because I feel like also in Zambia, it took us a bit of a time to realize that this is actually a big, big industry. So we're at the point where now it's a very lucrative industry, and everything is being taken seriously, and it's a very hectic space, by the way. Looks cute on the outside, but you'll be tired half of the time. So that's how pretty much everything went for me, and that is where I'm at the moment. So I just feel like I'm glad that I trusted myself in terms of directing my career in where I wanted it to go, but also not losing the fact that I was still a creative tend influencer who was providing value for the different brands that I work with, that I create value for. So I feel like that is something I'm proud of myself for.
I'm proud of you too. And there's something you just mentioned earlier, was everybody is a creative now, right? Which was different a few years back, and no one understood the space, which is great. We want a lot of people in Zambia to get into the creative space, express themselves, and
exactly, because hey, we were really a small industry back then, and because we were very small, it also made collaborations very difficult. But also the beauty of it being small was that people were really, they understood the essence of being a creative. They had a place of where they were creating from, and they had an audience they were creating for. But now it's like people are just creating with no intended purpose. So we have so many people who, some of them call themselves, oh, I'm an influencer, I'm a vlogger, I'm a YouTuber, but like there really is no audience they are creating for. They are creating for everyone. So the fact that now things are good, things are better, has also made the industry saturated. So that's the point I'm coming at. Like, the industry is saturated. Obviously, now it's really great that the industry has grown and is still accommodating so many new people. I just love that now it's easy for people to access digital tools. You know, it's easy for us to do this podcast. Back then it was difficult, you know, but now it's so easy for someone to vlog, someone to pursue even also the opening up of different career paths, because now you can be in corporate and you can still have you can have a 9-to-5, but you can still pursue your talent and your careers and your skills. So now we see people being, they are full-time YouTubers, but they have a 9-to-5. So I like that now it's easy for people to just do what they want.
I also feel like that's like one of my favorite thing is how saturated, but how everything is coming into place where you have a little bit more options. When you said you can be a podcaster, I don't know if I'm a creative. Like, there's some, for me personally, I feel like I haven't reached that extent, like that point where you're at, you, Brian. Like, if I would say who inspires you in the creative industry, I'd say Brian, because you know why you're doing stuff. It kind of gets hectic and irritating online because everybody's doing stuff and I don't know what you're doing. You're doing everything. Please relax, please relax or something. That's me anyway. Don't mind me. So tell me more, like, with the industry getting saturated, I've also noticed that there are so many events or creatives now, which is pretty cool. I rarely attend those events. It's like there's specific people they want at these events. But I'm also thinking, should you also make it open to other people so that they can know what they, like, I might not be interested. I might not be a creative. But anyway, guys, you're always a creative.
Yeah, because also creatives create for consumers. So really, everyone is important. You may not be a creative, but you consume their products and services or their content. So everyone is important.
Yeah, so I was saying, what goes on? I know you have organized some of these events. What goes on behind the scenes? How do you pick your target audiences to come to the events? Because a part of me is like, yo, what do I need to get? If you don't know somebody, you will never find a link to say, come to this event. You have to be in some inner circle, which isn't, I don't support that, right? I'm a type of person who wants to share information with as many people as I can and give access to everybody. I know that you can't give access to everybody, but just make the information known to a point that everybody can have access to it. But one of my challenges is, apart from the Yellow Ray Digital events, it's like, I never have interest in other events because I don't think I can have access to that. It's like there's a cult of creative. So what goes on behind that?
I think first and foremost, I mean, now I see so many creative events. I think there's even, there's usually one almost every weekend.
The Connect?
So, yeah, like, for example, we had the Connect. So now I don't see anyone gatekeeping events. It's just up to you if you have the interest to go. Yes, back then, I think it was a thing where people were gatekeeping. You needed to know somebody to join. But I don't think that is the narrative anymore. Now people are really sharing this information. And even if you don't follow somebody, they will probably boost. They will probably boost and you'll probably see the post. So I feel like you need to have the interest, really, just like any other passion or whatever career space or, you need to have passion. It's like how some people would tell you, I never see scholarships. Do you really want to check for them? Because no one is going to give them to you. So because I hear so many people saying, oh, where do you find fellowships? Where do you find scholarships?
You look for them.
You join, you follow the right pages. There are so many pages even on LinkedIn that share so many scholarships. So like, are you positioning yourself? Are you putting yourself in spaces that will expose you to these opportunities? Also, when these opportunities come, you don't go. So are you really taking up the initiative to advance? Because also sometimes some people will say, I don't feel like I belong there, but I feel like that is just you and maybe your imposter syndrome telling you you can't be in that space. So it's sort of like a mind shift change that you have to, that you need to have with yourself. Because also, yes, creative spaces can be very intimidating. And I've had a fair share of that where sometimes you feel like, ish, do I even belong here? Maybe I came to the wrong event. They can be intimidating, especially for someone, because also creatives, not creatives. Imagine someone who is new in the space and they just feel like, okay, how do I even navigate? But I just feel like at least what a point where create, where back then people were, used to get keep a lot. Back then, people used to get keep even the smallest detail. Back then, you needed to figure things out for yourself. Even just asking somebody back then, where do you get this? People would get keep. It never made any sense. But now we're living in a point, at least I'll speak for myself. If you text me or if you DM me on Instagram and say, do you know where I can get this? Do you know where I can sign up so that I can know this? I will always give you that information. And Yellow Ray Digital now runs the academy, which is open to everyone. So you could be a student, a professional, or someone who is just interested in advancing digital tools or getting acquainted with the events that Yellow Ray Digital under the academy that they run. So when you sign up for the academy, you get this information via the newsletter. You can join the WhatsApp group and you'll be updated for each and every event that comes in each and every quarter. So I went to the listeners, just go follow Yellow Ray Digital, click in the bio, follow the academy, and sign up. Just sign up for the academy, rather. Sign up for the academy, and you have all the information that you need. So I feel like people just need to position themselves in spaces that they feel that's the direction they want to go, because no one really gives information that you feel just needs to be given to you. You need to ask, seek, knock on the right doors and get that information. So, and also you can DM me like, oh, do you know where I can get this? Do you know I can get this? I will respond. I may not respond. It may take a week, but I will eventually respond. So yeah, I think that is what I can say with regards to the question you asked. I just feel like now the creative space, yes, may be intimidating to someone new. And also, you know, one thing I know for a fact with the creative space is, especially for somebody who probably is thinking, am I good enough to be a beauty blogger? I want to rep brands. I want to work with big brands. And the question they tend to ask is, how do I start? And I think that's the difficult part. But I'm always just saying, just start. You don't have to have everything figured out. Because that's the beauty of this industry, is that you are allowed to make mistakes, really. Like, you look back even just a month and you're like, what? I started on the 1st and now on the 30th, I'm able to do this. So, yeah, position yourself, just start doing what you need to start doing. And also just ask the right people, you know. And this goes across every industry. Like, seek help from the right people. And don't go seeking advice from the wrong people. Because not everyone that you think is right, or you know what, you know, for example, Aka, you started a podcast, so you probably know the right people to ask for advice if you want to excel in this in this space. So you won't go asking certain people, okay, how do I do this? Because you know that the information that they will give you will not be relevant to you. So it's also about following the right people, even on social media, asking or getting help and advice from the right people as well. Yeah.
It's like very important to know where to get knowledge from. Like, that's wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom
really is, you know.
Wisdom is knowing where to get knowledge from. And yeah, I want to pick on a few things you just mentioned. As people want stuff. People say, I want this and that and that. Sometimes you might have access to those things, but because you're not qualified,
mm-hmm.
you won't get it. Like me, sure. And me, I'll say this to people's face all the time. You might know where to get it. You're not qualified. If you're not qualified this year, let's say, for the, let's say the yearly program, the yearly fellow, right? You start asking yourself, or you start following people that have done the yearly fellow. What did they actually do? Can you please stalk these people on LinkedIn, Instagram, read their bios? What have they been doing for the first few years or the last few years to actually be able to qualify and be picked for these programs? Mm-hmm. And because a lot of young people don't want to put in the work, they really just like the glory. You even mentioned that the creative space is hectic, but then it doesn't look hectic. So you might find that when you get to do something, you go like, yo, It looks so easy on Instagram.
And that is where a lot of people like pull out, because really you realize, oh, I really want to do this, and then you realize, like, especially now we are living in a moment where you need to take yourself seriously, because no one will take yourself seriously. And for you to take yourself seriously, you need to create structure. And so now you realize you can't just be random, especially also when you start growing, you're going to need help. You may need sponsorship for certain things. So now you have to create structure. And that is the work that a lot of people don't want to do. They don't want to do that work. So it's like what you say, like, this year you applied for the yearly program, you didn't get in. How are you positioning yourself so that come next year, you fully tick the boxes? People are doing that.
Yeah, and people don't want to do the work. And the other thing is your friends or the people you ask advice from. When the, behind the scene of the podcast was hectic, I texted one of my favorite people in the world. And I was like, how do I do this? This isn't working out. This is working out. We're having a challenge currently with the podcast is people in Zambia can access it on Spotify. Now I have to reach out to other people and ask to say, how can people access this on Spotify? It's like, we did not know what was going on. Imagine when the first episode came out, I had no mic. So I had to figure out how to record. And I was like, I'm just going to record with my phone. And now we have, now the question is, how do I get equipment? It's like, there's so much that happens behind the scene, but it looks so good that everybody is just assuming to say, everything is fine. You have it figured out. No, it's okay to start and improve. So our thing is improving
everything. Don't start perfect.
Don't start perfect. Just start. So, and that's with the creative industry is people want to be so perfect. Or just any industry, to be honest. We all want to be so perfect. It's a default for me, probably for Brian. But then what makes people different, or what makes the failures distinguished from the successful people is, to be honest, we just start. And I'm hoping a year from now, this podcast is making money. Like, so it's a few of those things that we put in place. And one thing I love about the creative industry currently is the collaborations. You guys like each other. You guys are collaborating. Like, you guys are always commenting on each other's things. And it's like, if there's a space that's a little bit more supportive than the others, it's a creative industry. So tell me what goes behind the scenes with the collaborations, the hangouts, and everything you guys do.
I think, like any other industry, you need to find your niche. Because when you find your niche, you find your people. Because also, in as much as it looks like people support each other, people also don't support each other. I can tell you that for a fact. Like, people may be showing them, maybe showing their love, but do they really vouch and go an extra mile to make sure that they are pushing your content or they are pushing you as a brand forward? But I feel like what has helped now is the fact that people I've also realized that you have to be niche specific. So now when you venture in such a direction, you also find your own people within this big industry that you're a part of. And then when you find those people that are aligning with you, then now everything just seems very seamless. But also I feel like this also goes across every other industry where it seems like people really do support each other. But do they really support each other? Even like, I mean, if today we didn't have the internet, how would life be? You know, I always try and look at it like that, because I mean, not everything you see on the internet is real. Even I show you what I feel comfortable sharing. So that's just how the internet operates. Not to say that what people share is not real. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying people share what they are comfortable with. So some, and this can be both good and bad. There are so many good things that have happened in my life that I haven't shared because I'm not obligated to share. And there are certain things that are not so good in my life that I've shared and some that I've kept to myself. So really, with collaboration wise, I like that people are collaborating with each other, people are sharing information, people are hyping and pushing each other forward, because that's the only way this industry will grow.
Facts. People share what they want you to see. All of us.
Me. Everybody.
I was going through my Instagram and I'm like, oh, it does show the same thing over and over again. You can never really know. And that's the fact. Like, you can never really know what's actually happening. If you don't know me personally and I didn't mention it, yeah, you'd be just like, oh, that happened. And sometimes people also just reach out to you because they think you're doing fine. It's like in a relationship, you look at a guy, he looks fine, seems like he's doing fine. You get into the relationship or you get into the friendship and you go like, damn, tap up, tap up. But it's like perceptions, and yeah, we all like pretending and lying to each other. Over the years, I have seen you collaborate with big brands, to be specific. Like, you've been doing great in that sector when it comes to collaborations. I feel like it has reduced recently because you're in your marketing era, marketing.
Yeah. Now I'm sort of like in the background.
Yeah, it's like you're not the face.
Exactly.
But maybe you're probably making things work. I'd like you to talk about the steps you took to be able to actually collaborate with big brands. I don't want to mention names because I might get them wrong, but I know there have been big brands over the years that you've collaborated with. So what steps, how did you position yourself for that? And what steps did you take?
I think the first step I took in order for me to work with these big brands is something that I've probably already shared, is I took myself seriously. So I wasn't, there was a shift in what I was doing. It was no longer fun. Like, oh, this is just something I do for fun on the side. I took myself seriously. Not to say that I was no longer creating from a point of it being fun, but I took myself seriously at the point of I was like, now this is a business. And just like any other business, you need to be serious in order for you to sell. So when I took myself seriously, that was the time I was like, okay, I need to put up a very good portfolio for myself. I need to create that. I need to create a red card, how much I'll charge. And in my portfolio, I need to show my reference of work. So I created a bit of structure, and that was really the opening door for me to work with the brands. I was privileged enough to be reached out first. Most of these brands reached out to me first, but also I had many of the brands that I reached out to. And the only thing that helped was when I send an email, I don't have to make them start asking me. It was just about, I've attached this, 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 and this. This is how much I charge. This is what I want to do. I've attached a campaign. This is the value that it would create for you. Happy to chat more ABCDs and stuff like that. So those things really helped me work with so many of these big, big, big brands. And it was really a good experience. Something I still do is just that I think I reached a point where I felt like there was more for me to do. And that is when I decided to go at the back end of it. And at the back end of it is now where working for an agency is linking brands to potential collaborators, influencers, or marketers. And also I like that I've had both experiences, because now working in the back end looks like finding the right people to work with the brands, negotiating a budget for the people that you're linking to the brand, crafting how that campaign will look like for that brand. And it's something that so far is going good. There are a few campaigns that are even currently running. And I appreciate that I've had both experiences, because I've done campaigns that I was frustrated at, because one, payment wasn't delivered the way it was supposed to be delivered. And you know how it is, Aka. One thing, there's nothing more frustrating than doing the job and the payment is, where's the same energy when you are reaching out to me? Why isn't the payment also coming with that same energy? So now I appreciate that when I'm in the background, I'm able to vouch for some of the creatives and say this is what they are offering. Or if, for example, if the brand is offering a butter kind of payment, okay, we want you to do this for us, and we're going to give you this. So if maybe they create products, this is how much of the products will give you, equating to this, and this is the value. So I'm able to also just make sure that creatives are not exploited. Because there were so many times, especially when I was starting, when I took on some of the brand deals, because I was trying to make a name for myself. So I like that now I'm able to just say, this won't work, and somebody won't have to do or start from where I started. So it's also just making sure that the industry is better than the way it used to be before. And nobody gets exploited. People make their money, because everybody just needs to make their money, guys. So I just like that I've had both experiences of being somebody influencing for brands, and then also being somebody that is actually making this possible.
Facts. You are dropping gems. I see why we are friends. Had to put it out there. So you mentioned something very interesting a little bit earlier, was value. I thought that just because somebody has 10K followers, they bring value, right? But over the years, I've got to realize that somebody can have so many followers, but they might not bring value. Because now it's like, if you have 10K followers, you're an influencer. You're just not an ordinary human being like Aka that has 1K followers. Like, you're an influencer. You're doing big stuff because you now have this big following and you have these likes. Explain to me, like, the background of value, because it has me confused half of the time, because I really do see people with less followers, but they actually do bring value on the table, right? Like, when I look at their content, they can actually, they probably influence me to shop with a certain company, to do certain yes. things. While those with so many followers, yeah, I don't know. I am following them because it kind of gets annoying over time. Sorry. Kind of gets annoying over time. And it's my face. It's my Instagram. I want to follow you. And I also want you to bring in the analytical part, because I know you're an analyst, of how somebody can learn more of the behind the scenes and just, yeah, I forget the words, the traction and all those analytical parts you guys get to look at to just understand what's really going on.
Okay. Starting with the first part of the question, which is value. Really and truly, what brands are looking for is somebody who will provide or will be of service to either the product and service that they are pushing. So if you can fill in that gap, brands will want to work with you. So brands don't want you to come and tell them the same things that obviously 100,000 other people have suggested. So they want you to come and do something, probably even if it's been done before. I mean, even if we do the same work, Aka, we can't do it the same way. Even if we're doing the same work, you will give your results, I'll give my results. So that's what brands want. They want you to come and do something that will bring value to them. So you need to now figure out, especially if you're somebody who's reaching out to brands, let's say just a random one, it could be Umoyo, for example, and maybe a wellness health influencer, and you're like, okay, there's something I want to do with Umoyo. Instead of you just going to Umoyo and saying, oh, I would like to collaborate with you, you really need to sit down and say, which gap am I trying to fill in, and what will be the selling point? So if you're able to determine that, brands want to work with you, then now you can create the partnership and lay it out how it will look like. And that is where the value is embedded. And that's what I mean when you're like, you need to create value, because also when you're an influencer, you can't just create value for the brand. You also need to create value for yourself. So you need to know what is the end goal of me doing ABCD for this brand? What would that look like? So you want to really make sure that you are clear on that and that looks tentatively good. And also now I think people have realized that having a million followers doesn't mean you're the right person for the job, because now we've really seen that being a small or a micro influencer with a huge, huge, huge community of people that trust what you do, you create more value. So we're able to see if someone with 1,000 followers, but with massive, massive 10K and above engagement. And that's what brands want. They want people that will create that engagement, push their product, and they're able to make sales. And that is something that is at the back end of when we're looking at a campaign, for example. We look at the numbers, because numbers don't lie. They tell us if you did the job or if you failed at the job. So we're able to look at things like engagement reach, the reach, the impressions, and so on and so forth. Because that would tell us that, okay, this was successful, this failed. So to somebody listening, you could be an already established influencer or somebody that is getting into the industry. You want to look at how you're going to be a problem solver for these brands and how you're going to fill in the gap. So if you're approaching a brand, look at how you can create value for them and make sure that it's also value for you. Vice versa, if they reach out to you, you also still want to do things differently and see how you can create value that is beneficial to both you and the brand.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm so curious, what's next for Brian Mander in the next few years? Like, what's next?
Next for me? Career-wise or like in every aspect?
In every aspect.
Okay, so career-wise, I still want to take this digital marketing analyst role to a different level. So I want to experience different, how would I put it? Different eras of it, if I can put it like that, or phases. So I probably also, that means exploring different fields. So it could be banking, technology. I've had obviously the opportunity to work with so many industries, but really the list is endless. So that's what I want to see. Also, there are big things I want to really do that I can't even share on the podcast, but if you follow me, they will start unveiling soon. But really, I just want to take it to the roof and above. I still want to create the content that I create. I also still, this year, I want to bring back the book nerd part of me. So I want to revive my page and probably open an Instagram one, because the Facebook one is already there, and just see which people, because I like that now there are people also who are doing book clubs, see how I can collaborate with them. And yeah, so there are a lot of things that I want to do this year and beyond and in the next 3 to 5 years. And yeah, it's a beautiful ride, and I hope everybody comes along. So it's also just trying to make sure that I move consistently with all the parts that make up who I am. So it could be this passion, me exploring this, and also just creating a career in that direction. Yes, so that is how it's going to look like.
Let's open a book club together from everything you said. I'm so interested. Book club? I'm texting you about the book club. If you could, I feel like you have so many things going on. I can't wait to see them unveil to the world. Yeah. I can't wait for you to share the good you've been doing. When you look back 10 years, what advice would you give young Brian?
I would say trust and believe in yourself more, you know, Because now I look back and I see people who sometimes ask me, like, do you think this is a good idea? And I'm like, what's the worst thing that could happen, you know, if you just went and ran with that idea? Really, Aka, like, think about it. What's the worst that could happen? Just do it, right? Nothing really, like, just do it.
No one cares.
And I feel like so many people now battle with that. And it's something I battled with. I had so many ideas, and I'm like, do I really want to do it? What would people think? So that thought of investing so much in what people would think laid me back in doing some of the things that I did. But really, like, what's the worst that could happen? If it's five people that will see the work, it's fine. You're creating for five people. I would rather create for five people who are right for the things I do than create for so many who are just going to tear apart your stuff. But really, like, that's one of the biggest advice I'll give. Like, just do it, really. Like, do it. There's nothing worse that could happen. Do it better after you've done it the first time. Continue to improve on it. Also, young me, really, there was a lot of imposter syndrome, which still something I battle with now. It's just that now it's not like the way it used to. So I feel like sometimes there are certain big, big opportunities that I fully aligned with and I feel I would have scooped. But this thing of, I don't know if I'm really good enough for it, so you miss opportunities. So I hope somebody listening would, like, what's the worst that could happen again? Like,
nothing.
Okay, even if it's a rejection of saying you are not successful, if you didn't apply, you'd have been dying with the thought of you wish you did, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's the worst that could happen? And I feel like this is something young people deal with even now. Like, they have really big ideas. Oh, I want to start a business and I want to be making my own clothes. I want to be making ABCD products, but I don't know if it's good enough. Like, just start. It doesn't matter if it's not good the first time. Even on the seventh time, it doesn't matter if it's not good on the seventh time. It means you will do it on the eighth time or the tenth time. You made it. So that's, like, the biggest advice I'll give to my young self is believe in yourself, trust in yourself more. Do it scared, but still do it anyway. Fail if you need to fail, but do it again.
I feel like we all get it wrong, right? Successful people aren't just successful because they're good at it. It's really? Because they always get back and do the thing, even when it doesn't make sense. One, yes, you kind of reminded me of something. I like watching videos, guys. Commencement speeches. Like on YouTube, like, it's not just about music. There's so many videos that can inspire you to do great and be great. So one of my favorite, I listened to it a couple years ago, was when you go to a funeral, you're not just going to be crying over the loss of someone's death. You're going to be crying over the lost dreams they didn't accomplish, right? The car they did not buy, the trip they did not take, the business they did not start, maybe the career path they did not take. So it's like when you're going to a funeral, you kind of ask yourself, this person is gone, right? That's sad. But the sadder part is they didn't do what they actually wanted to do. They didn't experience the things they wanted to experience. And that should have been Pastor Murphy something. But it's like a really good speech. It's like, it always so remember that if you die, it's you didn't accomplish all these things. So we're not just crying about your death. It's all about you didn't accomplish that. And I wish we could all look at death that way. My other one could be the Steve Jobs commencement speech is when you think, if I'm going to die today, am I doing what I want to be doing? That commencement speech is kind of one of the best, to be honest. You ask yourself, if I die today, am I doing what I want to do? And if you ask yourself that question every day, I don't ask myself that question every day, but when things get tough and when hard decisions have to be made, and like I'm in an era where I'm making really hard decisions, and saying no a lot, yeah, I ask myself, if I die today, will I want to be remembered for this, or would I want to do what I want to do? Because in the end, guys, what's the worst that can happen?
What's really the worst? And also, I like what you said about saying no a lot. Because I feel like sometimes as young people, we have so many yeses. Oh, we want you to do this, we want you to do this. Oh, there's this.
For no reason.
Oh, there's this fellowship. Like, oh, there's this
just
workshop.
Saying yes to somebody.
I feel like you'd be so good at it, but like you need to also know what's for you. And what is really for you. Because deep down, we know what's for us. But nowadays, there are so many yeses, 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 yeses. And those yeses could really just be no's. And you could be home working on something that is even way beneficial to you. But you said yes to something that doesn't align, you know?
That's so true. And to conclude, what do you look forward to? Like, what's something getting you excited? Something you just genuinely look forward to?
I think something exciting me, obviously, the industry itself. I love seeing where it's going, where I'm also going in my careers and my endeavors. That is something that is exciting for me because I'm able to envision how the future will look like in the present, and that is something that keeps me going. Also, just having such conversations is exciting because you get to share and you get to share it with somebody. And this conversation is going to help somebody. So that means that's like something that reminds us of also keep, like, let's just keep going. Obviously, also in this situation, it also reminds you to keep doing what you're doing. It's also reminded me to keep doing what I'm doing. So that is something that is exciting for me right now. So it could be sharing, having meaningful conversations. Also just the fact of creating meaningful relationships as an adult is something that is always, I feel like now it's exciting me because I'm able to create, like, just have meaningful conversations with people. They may not even be my friends, but be in spaces where I'm able to have meaningful conversations. I'm able to pour into someone and they're able to also pour back into me and just leave feeling like I can do that. So those are some of the positive things that are keeping me going.
Thank you so much for showing up. Thank you so much for being my friend, which is like one of the coolest things in the world. One of the coolest things in the world.
I know, right? We always plan. We need to do this.
Well, at least we showed up for this date. I feel like we can do more dates than a physical one. But no, I'll probably have a date with you in May, hopefully. What I took away from this conversation was when you put in the work, it actually does show up in different ways. Mm. Not just then, but then. When you look back, you'll be able to connect the dots that the decisions you made were worth it, if you know what I mean? And when I look back to your story, again, I'm glad I'm your friend because I kind of know where you're coming from and how many things are meaningful and how we communicate. And this is like the most friendship where we don't talk every day, but I'm like, that's my
true
G kind of thing. That's my
no,
G.
True. Like we may not talk every day, but we are always rooting for each other, supporting each other. Like, I know I may not talk to Akas often, but I like that we're always just rooting for each other. And that is dope.
Yeah, so like having such a friendship, showing up for each other in different ways and having to understand where everybody stands in the unwritten word is what inspires me and why I'm so glad to be your friend. This conversation has taught me that there's so much to the creative space, given me some ideas that I just texted on how best I can move forward in the creative space. And just to know that this is my G, guys. Like, this is Brian.
Exactly.
Yeah, so thank you so much for showing up today for me. I'm really grateful and I love you so much.
Thank you so much for extending this invitation to me. And I'm excited. I think when I saw your podcast on LinkedIn, I was like, yes, why not? Like, Aka, yes, I was so gassed by you doing a podcast. And thank you for inviting me. And yeah, I'm a fan of this podcast. So I'll be definitely even listening to the other people that will feature. So it's just exciting. And thank you for inviting me.
All right, guys. So this podcast was recorded on Good Friday? Yeah, Good Friday. So happy Good Friday, if that's a thing. And thank you for tuning in. If you're at the end of the podcast, let us know what you think. We'll be sharing Brian's links and some of the links to the important things you should follow on Yellow Ray Digital in our bio or show notes. But yeah, guys, thank you so much. This was a Diary 101 podcast and Aka. So bye.